ESPN 97.5, KFNC 97.9, HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah! On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
And he does! Kikuchi's fired up! Strikeout number 10, you say, with a fist bump and a spin.
Big situation after a big play and a punch out for Kikuchi. Keeping this game 0-0.
You say. Space City Home Network workshopping some, I don't know, Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
Into the broadcast.
Yeah, that was interesting. Some music within the highlights?
Yeah.
Because they're just dropping them in? That in the. Okay, are you guys. I guess it's not showing up everywhere. Are you guys getting the flashing lights?
Oh, all the time. All the time.
During the game?
Yeah.
I don't understand what it is, what they're doing. It's just because it doesn't seem like it's happening on the stadium. And it's not the stadium. Because people are saying it's not happening on MLB TV. But just randomly, it just starts flashing. I don't understand what's going on.
They're trying to give us seizures.
They're just like trying to get rid of the fans.
You know, it is Labor Day, so I'm assuming not a lot of people are listening. Do we want to put a class action lawsuit together? Does anyone want to have a seizure for us? And by say that, like, just act like they're having a seizure? Is that possible? Is anyone really good at it? I don't know. We could get some big-time lawyers in as...
This might be where the Twitch is helpful.
As part of the show. Right.
I think we could get some of these Twitchers to jump in.
We're always looking for new business. So, yeah. I mean, why not a class action lawsuit against the Fubo TV and the Astros broadcast because of those little... flashing lights that occasionally happen.
Can we just also just get them on like YouTube TV or something?
They're definitely happening on Fubo TV.
I know, but I just want them. I don't have Fubo, and I hate Xfinity.
But you're still getting it, so it's. I was wondering if it was a Fubo TV issue.
Yes,
so it's an all Astros broadcast.
Apparently, yeah. At first, I thought I was going insane. I kept trying to see if my TV was plugged in all the way.
Yeah, it happens about 2 to 3 times a game. I thought it was. Just Fubo TV, and I said, no,
it's happening everywhere.
No, I mean, ATX Hobo Girl says there isn't a seizure warning. There isn't a seizure warning during these broadcasts. I think we're onto something here, okay? Now, just make sure that you credit Paul Gallant for the one who came up with the great idea so that I get more of the cut than anybody else, because I want to share with you guys, but I want a little more, okay?
And just in case we lose this lawsuit and get in more trouble, it was Paul Gallant.
Yeah, it's bizarre. I did not know that was an all-broadcast thing.
Okay,
so,
that makes me feel better, too, because I really thought it was just happening to me.
No, man. It's
until I saw Todd the Show complaining about it on Twitter. I was like, oh, wait.
No, it's been an all-season problem. So I think something needs to be done about that. So... tongue in cheek, we're talking about the class action lawsuit, but Space City Home Network, hey, can we fix this?
Yeah.
It's been all season. Come on.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how everyone at once is just like also realizing it's not just them. It just makes me feel like all season long, all these Astros fans are like, something's wrong with my TV.
It's a shared experience. Can we at least have a warning like right before the opening of the broadcast? Warning. If you're somebody who has seizures, you might need to look away. Anyway, the Astros have won 5 in a row. They're on a roll. They go 8-6 over the toughest stretch of the year. I feel that they are definitely going to the American League Championship Series for an 8th time after the way that they looked over the stretch, a stretch that saw them continue to pitch really well and make things happen despite some key bats missing. Alex Bregman, who's been out now for 3 games in a row, he's not going to play today. Kyle Tucker, who we hope to see back this week. So the... question I have for everybody right now, what questions have the Astros not answered that they could potentially do by playoff time about a month from now?
Can they get enough from first base? Because one of the things that you missed while you're out was the Orioles game in which they lost because John Singleton made a really poor play at first base where he just let the ball come to him and there was not a lot of effort and it was just a bad, bad play at first. And it led to a lot of questions and articles that we were reading and seeing about, did the Astros make a mistake by not solving first base? Maybe the Astros should have traded for Yuli Gurriel. Like, I forgot you can still trade for minor league players.
It was cool to see him get a standing ovation, and look, I mean, the last time that he had a good year for the Astros, he won the batting title and a gold glove.
Yeah, that's the one. I the rest of it, I think they've answered. We know who's going to be. I guess maybe now with the Bregman is, are they going to try some of the young guys at third?
The juggling with Bregman, which means that there will be juggling at DH and juggling at first base. I wonder what they do when they have to put their best lineup out. Because right now, I think you can still tinker a little bit, but you're going to have to, I think, have a really good feel for what you're comfortable with the last week of the year.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where I'm at. I don't want Yordan in the field, but I realize that I need Bregman in my lineup every single day. I like Bregman at first base, and maybe this is just a three-game sample size that we don't have to be concerned about, but I don't know. It's three games that he's missed in a row.
Yeah, they said when he first got hurt that they were going to look at it, about him playing first base. I think it was when we were there for Rock the Mic was the day they said it, and then Yordan got the stiff neck, so Alex just moved back into the DH spot, and now it seems that they've abandoned that. I mean, we'll see when he does come back, if that's on Wednesday, if they do try to play him at first base. That does seem like a viable option if you're comfortable with, you know, because I do like John Singleton's bat when you're facing a righty, as we saw yesterday. He can hit tanks. Like, he's a weapon against righties. But when you're facing lefties, you probably don't want him in there. So can you use Alex Bregman at first? That's really the question. You're right. Is what's the shuffle? What does the lineup look like? Yainer Diaz has been absolutely incredible since Kyle Tucker has been in. Is Kyle Tucker batting like sixth?
I would have him fifth? Lower in the lineup until he gets back to what he's been. Yeah, Diaz has been so clutch. I mean, he continued over the weekend, right? I mean, he's the one that breaks the game open on Saturday before Jeremy Pena has the triple. He has a two-run RBI double right before that. You got to, I think, find a way to make sure that Tucker's slowly ramped up. He might not. I don't know that Kyle Tucker's going to be playing the way that he did. He's been out 3 months. I mean, it's half the year at this point, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because at first it was just like, well, he's going to be better than Chaz McCormick, so just let him be up here. But now it's, you're thinking about, can Kyle Tucker get back into a rhythm by the time it matters? You know, if you're playing October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd in the three-game wildcard series, can he be back to Kyle Tucker by that point? Like, that's really part of the Tucker part of the equation is, you're going to win the division. So at least you don't have to have him be immediately an impact guy right away, but can he get back to being him? I'll throw this in there too.
By the way, biggest questions for the Astros that they haven't answered the rest of the way.
What the hell's wrong with Pena?
Like, in the field?
To have that jump throw, Jeter-esque play is incredible, but he has been like booty cheeks.
Booty cheeks?
Like,
that's redundant.
Like, he has not been good at shortstop lately.
He's got double butt.
Way too many errors. I don't know what's going on with him. Like, he's just been, I don't know if it's lackadaisical or just missing the easy plays, but he's got to be better than that. If Bregman's not going to be at third base, you're having this version of Jeremy Pena at shortstop, just what's wrong with him? Like, why is he playing this way? I don't understand. He's not hurt.
Just getting those yips out.
I guess.
He's going to be fine. Come on.
I mean, because it's just so funny when you miss an easy play, but that same game you've had a play that's absolutely incredible. And it's just like, why is this happening, Jeremy?
What's going on? Is it the twisties like Simone Biles had?
I don't think so.
Nice first pitch by Simone Biles, by the way.
She was there.
Those boots.
She's so small.
I'm a big fan of those boots.
Jonathan Owens was there too. Good husband.
That's true. She is married.
Good thing he wasn't wearing it.
She looks good. What?
Yeah.
I like boots on a woman.
Boots are nice.
Boots are very nice.
Yep.
Those boots were made for walking and for throwing out the first pitch. And she did some gymnastic stuff while doing it. We need more cool celebrity first pitches.
Yeah, it's just do lack in that department.
Yeah.
And I saw like Ric Flair tweeted his the other day. I was like, oh, that was so great.
We can't even get Beyonce to do the national anthem for God's
sake. She likes us.
For the playoffs. It is bizarre. That part, what is she like Jimmy Butler where she only represents Galveston?
I mean, maybe. I don't know if you'd want to be. I mean, maybe that's why Chuck had to apologize because he felt
bad.
No,
that was a large portion of the pushback was because Beyonce's mom pushed back on Charles Barkley for ripping Galveston beaches. Galveston beaches are literally fecal bacteria havens.
Yeah. It's like you get the next zombie apocalypse.
Right.
The first zombie apocalypse.
There's fleshy bacteria. Galveston. That's where the new fungus are going to be from The Last of Us. Right, exactly. Uh-huh. It's scary. What questions do you have for the Houston Astros that need to be answered the rest of the way? 713-780-3776 to call, to text. Joe George is, as far as I can tell, not what? Oh, no, that's a wedding ring. Joe George is not wearing an Aggie ring, so he survived his trip to College Station. We'll talk about the Aggies lost to Notre Dame. We'll talk about Texas and everything else we saw in the week end of college football. Galan and George, stay put.
This is Galant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
We have a Kyle Tucker update.
We do.
We have a Kyle Tucker update. I'm sorry. This is probably unsurprising to literally everybody in the city of Houston and perhaps the entire United States of America.
Yes. So for months now, they've been saying that there's been no fracture. But Chandler Rome just wrote a story for The Athletic saying three people briefed on the matter told The Athletic that Tucker did sustain a fracture of his shin. Asked twice on Saturday whether Tucker's shin had a fracture or not, Astros general manager Dana Brown said it did not. On Monday morning, Dana Brown told Chandler and told The Athletic, after several rounds of medical imaging, we suspect there was some type of small fracture. So they're finally coming around on telling the truth on this one.
Why didn't they just do it from the start?
I don't know.
We all knew it. I mean, Chandler even had a piece in The Athletic where he talked to a bunch of doctors who all said, yeah, he probably has some sort of a microfracture. I talked to my sister, who was a doctor, and she started laughing when I said, yeah, he's been out for 3 months with a bone contusion.
Yeah.
She said, that's not real.
Yes.
What are you talking about? That's not a real thing.
So
a deep bone bruise?
Yeah.
She started laughing.
It's just,
she thinks the Astros are silly. She's a Red Sox fan.
This was the obvious thing that was always going to come out. I'm surprised it took as long as it did. It makes it funnier to me that Dana Brown over the weekend is denying it, then gets confronted with actual sources in an article, and then has to acknowledge that it's true. It's just so stupid.
They could have gotten this out of the way so early. And guess what? This is one of those things that you look at now, and you wonder why they didn't go after an outfielder at the trade deadline. And I'm not going to act mad about it. They've made it work. They had a great August. They were 18-10. So hindsight is 20/20. But this was not something that is hindsight. This is something they knew. They knew that he was hurt. They knew that he broke something. I don't understand why they put this out there. Maybe it shields them from any criticism they would have gotten at the trade deadline for not going and getting an outfielder. But I mean, that's why you're throwing guys like Ben Gamble, who's played well to his credit, and other randos out there, signing Jason Hayward, hitting 200, looking like he's about to be out of baseball at age 35. Maybe a trade for someone at the trade deadline? I don't know. You got a little more depth. He's been out for 3 months.
I just don't, besides, because it happened before the deadline. So you can't, you're going to foresee that you're not going to make an outfielder trade and it's going to protect you. I don't understand the song and dance. Yeah, I just don't get it.
We're all on the same page.
Like, why you feel the need to lie and lie and lie and lie. But they did the same thing with Justin Verlander. So this isn't a Dana Brown issue. I don't know what philosophical thing. You can only point to Jim Crane at this point because he's the only constant. He's the only guy that when Chandler said that Justin Verlander was having Tommy John and they all said he was lying and he was right, he's the only one that has been here through all of it. It's just annoying. Like, at this point, like, at least with at least with Bregman, they made it funny. Like, they're giving us Gremlins. Like, at least, like, give me something entertaining to chuckle at, and he's playing. But
well, Bregman gave us that. The Astros did not say, Bregman, day-to-day, elbow Gremlins.
I mean, I wish they would. Like,
I do, too.
But, like, you know, it was so easy with Ryan Pressly. Maybe it's just because it went well, but they're like, he's going to be back at the end of his 15-day IL or 10-day whatever it was, and he was, and he's been excellent, but it's so much easier. I just don't understand the need to lie so constantly. This is not football. This is not football where if you have an injury, someone they're going to target it.
Right.
Like, they're not going to, when Kyle Tucker returns now because he had a fractured leg and Chandler broke the news, they're not going to throw at his leg. Like, you don't need to lie. It's okay. Just tell the truth. I just don't understand.
Well, you have a three-year-old. I'm assuming that your three-year-old lies regularly.
Yeah, he stole my glasses, and he knows exactly where they are, and he won't tell me.
Joe's three-year-old son has stolen his glasses again. We've lost count of the times. But young children, they lie all the time for no reason.
Yes, did you poop? No, lie. I smell it.
So you should be used to this. You should be used to lying.
I know I should be. But, like, I just
don't. You are mad about it in a way where.
Like, I'm just annoyed.
You've been consistently mad about it. I think it's fun.
Well, it's because it goes back to when I was at 790. Like, it's just to be honest. I mean, when Dusty Baker came on right after he got hired and there was injuries to Yordan and Justin Verlander, he spilled the tea. He told the truth. And then the next week, he came on for his interview. They asked him a health question. And he literally said, they're not telling me anything anymore because I said too much last week. Because Papa was too chatty with us. So I just don't get the need to lie. Like, it's like they're just trying to tell all the Astros fans and all the media that we're stupid.
The only plausible defense I can think of is what I said a little bit ago, is that this gave them a little bit of plausible deniability, a shield, if you will, from criticism for not going after another positional player. And I would imagine that with the payroll the way that it is for the Astros, that they did not want to go out and acquire somebody that they'd have to pay a good deal of money, add on to the payroll, and get into the next tier of the luxury tax threshold. That's all I can think of. Because, yeah, if it was a fractured bone, we would have been saying from the get-go, you got to go get a guy. Mm-hmm. Chaz McCormick's having a down year. We expect this to turn around. Jake Meyers had some good moments, but you're expecting Jake Meyers to do that all year long? Mauricio Dubon, you could play out there a little bit, but your outfield depth was lacking. You kind of knew that going into the year, mm-hmm. and now here you are, and this is something that you could have potentially fixed. And if you're honest about it, we're calling you out for it.
That's true. And because they are getting that at first base with Singleton, because they had Abreu, they got rid of him. And they didn't replace him at the deadline. So there's people calling him out for first base. They did acquire a starting pitcher, but they had, you know, they have an entire five-man rotation out for the season at this point still. I mean, with Urquidy and Javier and Garcia and everything that's going on there, McCullers. So you have all those guys hurt and out for the year. They did acquire a starting pitcher. So I think that's a good point, you know, that they might just be using this as a way to shield themselves from criticism. But it also, I still wonder, you know, I think when you look at, there's been a lot of writing from most of the Astros beat reporters that since 2020, the return to play has been an issue for Astros players, that they're not returning at the same timeline as you are seeing from other injuries in baseball. And that's where is there something fundamentally wrong with the medical staff, or is it just that they're always lying to us, is always kind of my question. Like, if Kyle Tucker, it was always to me, like, especially when Brian put out that first video, Brian McTaggart, of Tucker running in Tampa. And he was
not to be confused with the time he was hopping.
Yes. The first time he was trying to run and he was just limping everywhere. That was like, okay, he's got a fracture. Like, that's what, like, not to compare to my own injury, but
do it.
I had a hairline fracture my senior year.
Damn.
And that's kind of what it looked like. It was like, no.
They put you on the
This is the one that I rebroke by playing flag football that I told you about before.
Dang.
Yeah.
That sucks.
Stupid Joe.
That's not stupid. No, that's the man. The man who goes back out there and does his job for his team.
Yeah, but it wasn't real football that got hurt.
Hang on. Shut up. That's no, that's sacrilegious.
Like, no. But like,
I bet you think that that Doucette guy is better than Patrick Mahomes.
No. But like, I had real football practice, and I heard it on a Saturday playing with my buddies. So yeah. I got hurt in the
ball
wrong.
Ball is ball. You never stop
just ball. You're right. Never stop ball.
When you're young, ball, and ball some more.
Get yeah.
Ball
they just,
the ball.
They just lie to us. They just lie.
I don't have an issue with it. It is funny, though, that 3 months later, we finally got the truth.
Yes. And it felt
good
inevitable.
Job by Chandler Rome, who everybody gets mad at when he does his job.
This is why they get mad at him, because he exposes them. It's just to be honest.
Their pants aren't down here, but it was just, like, why didn't you just say it was broken? That's really all we're saying here. He's Joe and Paul. We'll talk about Joe's trip to College Station because that was something we saw at the commercial break at 2:15. Coming up next, we are 3 days away from the start of the NFL season.
Let's go.
Number three is lacking. I was surprised by how lacking number three was. So this is just going to give me a chance to go after one of my least favorite players that I've ever covered. And a guy got shot this weekend in the NFL. He's okay. We'll talk about that too. Stick around.
All right, coming up on September 22nd, Sean, Brian, myself will be doing the bullpen on Sunday morning live from LaBerge in Lake Charles. But we won't be doing it inside the sportsbook at LaBerge in Lake Charles because that Friday it will be officially rebranded and reopened as ESPN Bet. They started putting up the signs while we were there, put the teal color, making it look all nice and cool. All the machines will be different. It's going to be a really cool time to be out there. So if you haven't had a chance to go to LaBerge yet, it's a great time to do it. We were there this weekend. We played the Colorado game. Somehow BMAC hit a 14 parlay, and he wasn't even there, so he had a good weekend. Sean got crushed. But it's, you know, it happens. It's always a good time. The food's good. They rolled out a new menu while we were there as well. I highly recommend it. Go to there. When you want to leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBerge Lake Charles.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Paul Gallant and Joe George.
3 days away from the start of the NFL season. Thursday night, Chiefs hanging another banner, the Ravens. Ravens are getting a little bit too chesty about this game. Shut up. Stop talking.
Cool helmets, though. Purple.
Lamar Jackson said every game that he plays in is a revenge game. Oh, well, I guess you don't get vengeance that often.
Because you lose in the playoffs all the time?
Derrick Henry said it's my time. Okay, again, cool. But, I don't know, maybe shut up this week? The build-up to this game? Anyway, 3 days away. So, I mean, we could talk about some real old-school players like Jim Thorpe, who played in, I believe, a variant of the National Football League, but not quite the National Football League. Played for the Canton Bulldogs.
Okay.
The Cleveland Indians.
Okay.
The Oorang Indians. The Rock Island Independents.
I thought we were going to get three Indians teams in a row there for a second.
The New York Giants.
Okay.
1925. I guess those are the original. The Rock Island Independents,
okay.
The Tampa Cardinals, the Canton Bulldogs, and the Chicago Cardinals.
All right. It's a well-traveled person.
Was one of those Rock Island?
Yes.
Rock Island Independents.
I miss the days when a town called Rock Island could have had a football team.
Where is Rock Island?
Great question.
I'm guessing the Northeast?
Oh, it's in Illinois.
Oh, you should know
Wait,
that.
Where's the island?
Great question.
Maybe in the middle of a lake or something like that. But yeah, he was the first Native American to win a gold medal for the United States in the Olympics. You've also got the great Bronco Nagurski. What an old football name.
I was looking at Al Dal Greco. This is a good kicker number.
Yeah, there's a lot of kickers.
Steven Goskowski.
Jens Denyerud as well. Bronco Nagurski was a fullback for the Bears. And of course, Joe, noted Bears fan, has a Bronco Nagurski jersey from 1930 to 1937.
Honestly, I might need one now. That would be a sweet throwback.
I was wondering what years were fullbacks wearing number three. I guess if you go back far.
At 6'2", 235 pounds, he was a formidable presence. Just to go show you how small it was back then. when it comes to just the average human being and the average football player. Now, as far as number threes go, this is definitely the most famous number three of all time. I'm, of course, talking about Mr. Unlimited himself, Russell Wilson.
Hey, guys. Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real excited. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you gotta be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who's your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll, they think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited. Tell him.
That's CR in the background, his wife.
I can't believe she didn't just divorce him after that video. Well,
that's not even the most cringeworthy Russell Wilson and Ciara video that there is. Because when Russell Wilson signed an extension to remain a Seattle Seahawks quarterback, back in, I want to say this was 2018, he announced it with a video from his bed, which he's under the covers of.
That's right.
I'm assuming not wearing any clothes, with his wife, Ciara. Congrats on the sex, Russell.
Yeah.
Congrats on the marriage, Russell. Here is Russell Wilson announcing that new deal.
Hey, Seattle. We got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, you can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
How the hell does the Steelers name this moron a captain?
What? He's just a man.
Mr.
with his
Unlimited.
Wife. He's just a man with his wife.
Like, this video is better than the Unlimited one. Because, like, hey, man, you just had sex and got a contract. Congratulations. Now go to sleep.
Life is great.
Like, that is, like, at least then, like, it's, like, a good brag.
Sex with a pop star.
Yeah. Like, congrats, Russell Wilson. But the Unlimited video, it doesn't even make sense.
Well,
who do you look up to, Russell?
That's because you don't.
Mr. Unlimited.
That's because you don't look at yourself in the mirror and see Mr. Unlimited.
You're right.
In fact, you don't see anything because your son stole your glasses.
It's not true. I have contacts and I can see fine.
You can see you do have contacts.
Yeah, yeah. I have contacts on standby.
Contacts on standby.
And now I'm just moving to contacts permanently.
Okay. Well, listen, we're not going to show you an advertisement for Russell Wilson's concussion water because he did have a company of water that you could drink if you were someone who suffered concussions, supposedly made things better. Here is Russell Wilson's other business venture where he created ball-shaped bread.
Hey, Russell Wilson here, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, part owner of Eat the Ball. If you guys are looking for a good sandwich on game day... Russell Wilson here, quarterback for the Seattle Seahawks, part owner of Eat the Ball. If you guys are looking for a good sandwich on game day, you got to try Eat the Ball. No balls, no game.
No balls, no game.
Hey, Russell Wilson.
Eat the ball.
It's very funny. Like, looking, I wish I could find some.
It's an Australian bread company that was designed to make children eat bread.
And it's a football.
It's shaped like a football.
And it has the laces on it and everything.
Do we have issues with kids not eating bread? Like, is that an issue that...
I think we're supposed to be moving away from that.
Yeah. What are we doing?
Right, at least here in the United States. I mean, bread, for kids who are starving, I'm sure it's like the number one go-to. But, hey, bread for children, shaped like a football, it costs $10, it's probably stale.
Not like it's broccoli or something where it's like, hey, trick your kids into eating something healthy with making a football shape.
It's also like, it's just a really bad, like he says, make a sandwich. Too much bread. Like I don't know how you're going to cut this thing to make it a sandwich.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I don't either.
Because, like, when you cut it in half, and there's these giant loaves of bread, like, it's too much
bread. Yeah, it's like a, kind of like a croissant, I guess.
Keyword kind of. Anyway, current Houston Texans at our number three, Tank Dell. Past Houston Texans, Brandon Whedon.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Savage.
Yep.
Kyle Allen, some mediocre quarterbacks, and Chris Brown, who I remember used to hilariously miss field goals at the end of games for the Houston Texans. I say hilariously because I was not a follower or coverer of the Houston Texans at the time. I just remember whenever I would watch NFL primetime, it felt like Chris Brown was missing a kick at the end of the game and the Texans would lose.
This number is so bad. Tank Dell could be like top five.
He already
players
might be,
of all time to wear number three.
In like 3 years when we're doing this list.
Yeah. He's already the best number three of all time. Like no Houston Texan who wore number three.
Oh, yeah. I mean, in the entire NFL.
Oh, fair enough.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, it's such a bad number. It's like, I mean.
Well, unless you don't like Jim Thorpe, Indian American hero.
I mean, Carson Palmer's not a bad
Bronco
number three.
Nagurski, too. Bears, some Bears fan you are.
Yeah,
Russell Wilson for a time looked like he was on his way to the Hall of Fame. So Tank does have some ground to make up.
Yeah, he'll never be number one. But I think Russell Wilson will be a Hall of Famer. He's nerdy and weird and unlimited.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if we're letting Russell Wilson, we're letting a lot of quarterbacks in.
I think once Eli gets in, the floodgates are gonna open.
Yeah, but Eli was in New York and he won two, and Russell Wilson won one.
That's true.
Also, I think there's a little bit of the New York and Manning exception with Eli, where it's not going to lower the standard. It's just, we're just going to let this guy in.
Just let Eli in.
Yeah.
Ricky Pearsall, 49ers first-round wide receiver, was shot through the chest by a 17-year-old who was trying to rob him of his Rolex. Apparently, Pearsall grabbed the gun from this teenager. He and the assailant were shot. Somehow, no one died. No surgery either. It just went through his chest and out the back. He is incredibly lucky to be alive. I'm not sure where in San Francisco this took place. I have some real questions about the individual who was out on the streets, apparently not too long after being picked up, having a pistol somewhere. I guess when you're 17 and you're on the West Coast and you're caught with a gun, maybe some people are willing to give you another chance. Left Coast politics, always confusing to those of us who live here in Texas. Really good news that he is okay. Wow. You hear someone shot in the chest, you assume bad things.
Yes, and especially because even then, some of the reporters were getting the information wrong as it was coming out. It was while I was at the Aggies game, Notre Dame game, and the first report was shot through the chest. Then it was followed up by a different person that said shot through the arm. And then we did get the clarification once his mom posted on Facebook that it was shot through the chest. Incredibly lucky. Terrifying. I mean, the fact that, like, in the story, it's like he had a relatively short stay at the hospital. You hear through the chest. Like, I just, those words don't seem to math to me. Like, it just doesn't make sense. So, very, very lucky. It's awesome because terrifying to think about.
It's a weird spot to be in. You got a teenager, and I'm assuming, making assumptions here, that this kid is probably, has all sorts of things going through his head. This is not me justifying it or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, you never know what's going to happen when it's a kid that's pointing a gun at you or something like that. And it was all for a Rolex. I don't know how it escalated to the point where the teenager shot him. Maybe Pearsall resisted or something like that. I don't know. I mean, it's not worth it. And this is something Ricky Pearsall, who's also not too far removed from being a teenager, given that he's a first-round pick, has got to learn. But I'm very glad that everyone's okay there. I guess we changed to talking about another 49ers wide receiver. Brandon Ayuk got paid. Huge deal. 4 years to stay with the San Francisco 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
No trade. $134.1 million. $90 million over the first three.
And 47 before April 1st. So he's going to have that guaranteed money in the next, like, 6 months. So that's a good deal for him. I like how it's front-loaded. I mean, this is a good move because I feel like they're going to try to move on from Debo.
Debo Samuel, yeah. Right. Samuel is a fun player and can do all sorts of different things for whoever ends up having him. But I'm with you. I think that we're going to see Debo Samuel somewhere else. More extension talk. Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel got an extension through 2028. I think he's done a good job in Miami, but I don't know that he's merited an extension to this point. I feel like we got to see what the possibilities are with Tua this year, specifically in the last half of the year. It's weird because it feels like the Dolphins always falter at the end of the season. Do you want a head coach? when that's happening regularly, are you going to blame it on the quarterback every single year?
Yeah, because this deal matched up exactly with Tua's.
Right.
They both go through 2028, so I guess it's just, well, he gets the best out of Tua, and we don't know how many coaches in the NFL, if there's any that would get this much out of Tua, so he has to be our head coach, because I like him too, but they do falter, and they do play terrible in the cold, and they struggle in the playoffs. Like, you have to show me something different. Right now, if you look at odds, they're third in the AFC East to win the division this year. And, like, that's the quarterback and coach you're betting on?
Yeah.
We'll see.
By the way, one last story, NFL, and specifically with your Houston Texans. NRG roof should be fixed by September 29th.
All right. So just an outdoor game for one game. Because the roof's going to be partially open because of one panel missing on September 15th, if there's a lightning storm within a certain amount of miles, the game will go into a delay. Because they said the first panel will be fixed by the Bears game. The second panel will be fixed by the 29th.
Okay.
So
we'll see what happens.
Why can't they just do both at once? I don't understand.
What do you mean?
Why can't they fix both panels at one time?
I don't know. It's probably a process. I mean, Look, you got to probably put a crane up. And where do you put the crane up?
And, Joe, it's not like you can go to the store and get two.
Yeah, Cal told us.
Cal did teach me that.
They have to make one and make the other.
All right. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah. It's not at Home Depot or something.
Yeah, that's what Cal said. I think he said Home Depot. Which is a good point.
Or Lowe's.
It's just not.
Whichever sponsors the Houston Texans is the one he said.
Up next, we got two Deep Steel Blue Pills for you as we get closer and closer to the start of the NFL season, just 3 days away. Plus, whatever questions you have about the Houston Astros, have they answered them? Stick around. It's Galan and George.
You're listening to Galant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Galant and Joe George.
Astros have won 5 in a row, 4-game sweep of the Royals over the weekend, and we officially know that Kyle Tucker did indeed suffer a fracture to his shin. Not a surprise to anybody, but for whatever reason, the Astros felt the need to keep it from us. We'll see when he's back. It could be as soon as Wednesday or Thursday without a rehab stint. So at the very least, that is nice, Joe.
It could be worse. I guess they could have got it wrong, and maybe they didn't lie to us. They just misdiagnosed it. That would be worse.
I don't think they misdiagnosed it.
I hope not. I in this moment, then I'd take the lie.
They made up an injury.
Yeah, I'll take the lie over the misdiagnosis all day.
We're getting you closer and closer to being excited about the Houston Texans, and we will convince all of you to be excited about the Houston Texans going into the year, okay? We have been just force-feeding you Deep Steel Blue Pills over and over and over again because the hype for this Texans season has never been greater, at least in my time here. Maybe going into 2012, you could argue it was on the same level. I don't know. You didn't have C.J. Stroud under center. You did have J.J. Watt. But Watt hadn't had the year that he had had, that he would eventually have in 2012 to that point. So with that in mind, it is time for a couple of Deep Steel Blue Pills before we kick off the year.
Little blue pills can take 30 minutes to get you ready for excitement.
So that's why we're giving you a big Deep Steel Blue Pill.
You take the blue pill, believe whatever you want.
Get it up for the Texans and take this Deep Steel Blue Pill.
And by the way, she'll like it too.
Texans 4!
C.J. Stroud's odds for MVP, second in all the NFL.
All right.
That's neato. And we even got a C.J. Stroud MVP prediction on one of the big old networks. This one comes courtesy of Jeffrey Shadiha on the NFL Network.
I'm going with C.J. Stroud. And I know Patrick Mahomes is the favorite.
Nice.
I know Josh Allen and Joe Burrow and other guys are going to be in there. But C.J. Stroud, I'm going on the theory of Patrick Mahomes won this as a second-year starter. Lamar Jackson won this as a second-year starter. C.J. Stroud is in his second year and spending time around the Houston Texans and hearing what he's been doing, talking to quarterback Coach Gerard Johnson about his continued maturity, the way he's being a leader. the way he got guys together in the offseason, the way he's preparing for more scrutiny, defenses knowing what's coming, I think he's going to have a big year. And in that division, where there's not a lot of competition, I think he's going to blow it up. So I think he's going to have a great chance to win this award.
NFL.com/predictions. You can read.
I don't really like his logic to get there. I'll take it.
Yeah.
But C.J. Stroud's going into his second year. Patrick Mahomes and Lamar Jackson won in their second years. You got to put a little bit more to it.
Yeah, I thought the take I like, the process in which he, yeah, what you said to get to the take, I think is kind of strange.
Talk about the receivers that he has. Talk about how you have Nico Collins, you have Tank Dell, and you added Stephon Diggs into that. Instead, he humble brags about talking to Darrah Johnson, the Texans quarterback coach, and says it's his second year. I suppose that there is some logic in giving a second-year quarterback an MVP. Mahomes should probably get it every single year, but he just won't.
Also, asterisks on Mahomes. He won it in his second year. It was his first year starting.
Correct.
Yes.
He started one game the year before.
And Lamar started seven games his rookie year?
Yeah, Lamar started...
like half a season?
Yeah, about half.
Yeah, CJ played more football than both those guys combined his first year.
Washed up.
I like the idea of CJ Stroud as MVP because it does. They don't often give two guys in back to back years. It doesn't happen that often. I mean, they always are kind of looking for the new blood, the new storyline. But they got to be first in the AFC, second in the AFC. I think to win MVP, you can't be a 10-win team and get MVP. Like, it just doesn't happen.
You're going to have, I think, the best record in the conference.
Yes.
Get the one seed.
One or two seed.
Right. I mean, we saw Jalen Hurts a couple of years ago with the Eagles. That's how he got it. So that's how Stroud gets it. We also have our first Houston Texans Super Bowl victory prediction. And it comes on the television show The Franchise. Here is Greg Jennings. Putting the Texans on his
with my Super Bowl
picks.
Who is it? What is it?
We can go with that guy. And if I had my flag, I would put it down here.
Woohoo!
Detroit Lions representing the NFC.
Wow.
CJ.
Wow.
CJ Stroud and no
guys.
Now when somebody is your guy, with CJ Stroud, you my guy. Clearly.
Why did you pick Daniel Jones?
I put my flag right there in front of the desk, on top of the desk. CJ Stroud and the Houston Texans take on the Detroit Lions. I really believe in Dan Campbell and what he's going to do. I think they're going to take that jump. I really like the Lions this year. It was tough for me. You took the Packers.
Yeah.
So respect there. And then winning the MVP, I mean, come on. Do we need to?
Wow.
CJ Stroud, he's going to have a year.
Wow.
A heck of a year.
I mean,
you know what? L'Jarius Sneed, he still won't be Patrick Mahomes.
You know what? If he does what you said, and obviously he's not.
I don't know why the L'Jarius Sneed's being brought up there. It's first things first. There's a lot of chatter in the background. Maybe not a lot of chemistry between Greg Jennings and the first things first crew of Nick Wright, Kevin Wildes, and Chris Broussard, one of the three people I've blocked on Twitter because I just don't want to see his takes ever. So, to bring it back, though, to Greg Jennings, hell yeah.
Our first Super Bowl prediction.
He's got a Stroud MVP and Texas Super Bowl prediction.
And I think it said on the graphic, because he didn't really say it there, I'm pretty sure it says Texans defeat the Lions.
Hell yeah.
So, I was waiting for it. Someone was going to do it. He would not have been on my top of my list of who I thought was going to do it.
I kind of forgot that he was doing TV stuff.
Same.
I thought it was James Jones, the other Packers wide receiver at first. I was like, oh, wait, doesn't he also? They both do TV. They both give out takes. I'm glad we got one half of the, I don't know, like 2015 Packers passing offense to throw the Texans. Yeah, I expect that's more going to be coming this year or this week as all the shows do their picks and stuff.
I think we'll see more Lions. I don't know how many people will go against the grain.
There's a lot of Lions.
Yeah, there's a lot of Lions Chiefs Super Bowl predictions already out there. I think we're gonna see a lot more. Because like there are a lot of, some of these shows I've seen other clips, they're literally just not picking the Chiefs because so someone can be different on the show.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, so do you really believe your take then? But at least Greg Jennings put the Texans on his back.
He planted the flag.
Yeah.
He stood on business.
Mm, he did.
Will. So there you go, guys. Two deep steel blue pills for you. We do have an Astros thought from Alex at 713-780-3776. That's how you call. That's how you text on the HRNP listener line. Alex, show us what you got.
What's up, guys? So I've got three quick questions. Number one, do y'all know why the Astros series with the Reds is broken up? Because it makes no sense if they were both playing yesterday, why they wouldn't be able to just both have today off.
We asked that question earlier. So we believe it is due to some sort of players union stipulation where you can't play more than 18 games in a row. And this was a way where maybe the Reds wouldn't have multiple days off in a row, and the Astros also would not play 19 straight games. What's question two?
Okay, question number two. I believe it happened this season. I called you while you were on a different show, and I asked you about a question about a vague player, but it was really about Bregman. Basically, I was asking you, would you prefer, if the guy's going to get 90 RBI, if he would you prefer him to space that out evenly over throughout the whole season, or do what Bregman does and just like kind of be a ghost at the beginning and then finally come on and strong and produce a lot whenever we really need it? So I wanted to kind of re-ask you that same question if you have the same opinion. And then lastly, since y'all are not an Astros affiliate and you don't really have, maybe you have less to lose, how would it go down if you were to kind of like ambush another player on the team and like ask him, how long do y'all think it's going to be before Kyle's broken leg heals? Just like, you know, set him up almost. Because they probably knew. These guys probably knew. We've all known, but the front office is lying to us. So, like, would it be bad for business if you were kind of like trick somebody into admitting something that they shouldn't maybe say? Or how would that work?
Interesting question, Alex. I think for the last one, you're going to have a tough time getting another player to go on the record talking about another player's injury because they're not going through that.
Yeah, they won't. I just think they wouldn't answer it.
Right.
I think it'd be really hard pressed to.
They'd say, ask him.
Yeah, the only time you see it is when they start rehabbing. That you might hear, hey, what'd you think of, you know, Justin Verlander in warming up before the game today when he was just throwing to catchers and just trying to get some BP in. That's like the only time you really get the answer, I think, the closest way.
His second question.
Wouldn't be bad for business, though. He asked for if it would be bad for business if we asked that question.
I mean, it would potentially make it so that some players wouldn't answer questions or be annoyed by questions like that and not give you good answers.
Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Bregman, RBIs, consistently throughout a year or at one point during the year? I mean, I'd rather have all my players playing their best at the end of the year, even if it comes with the first couple of months struggling. And I think we all should have remembered that Bregman always starts slow. There's a lot of anger, vitriol directed Alex Bregman's way. I get it, especially in a contract year. You're thinking this is the year where it won't happen. Changed his body, blah, blah, blah. But I'd rather it all happen at the end of the year. The problem is he's hurt. So it's not really happening all at the end of the year.
Yeah, it's happening like in the middle of the year. So I'll take the middle of the year. I think it's fine. I mean, as long as you get him, that's all that really matters. Like if you,
well, what do you mean you'll take the middle of the year? You'd rather it all be in the middle of the year? Because he's asking if you want to have it spread out throughout the year or if he wants it at the end of the year.
But that's not what he's really done. He mostly did it from like in May and July.
I'm just telling you what Alex is asking.
I'd rather him get it all at the end.
Okay.
Be hot going to the playoffs.
Yeah, same here.
Get 90 RBI all in the playoffs.
Yeah, that would work. That would be huge. The Astros win the World Series if Alex Bregman gets 90 RBIs in the playoffs. That would be 8 to 9 RBIs a game.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That would be insane.
And I would settle for 0 RBIs the regular season if he does that.
that's a good trade.
Would he still be in the lineup if he got 0 RBIs in the regular season?
Is Joe Spada aware of this genie wish that happened? I'm not sure.
Sean behind the glass, Joe George to my right. I'm Paul Gallant. Hour 3 of Gallant and George is next. And to open up, we talk about all the great things that happened for the Houston Astros this weekend in a 4-game sweep of the Kansas City Royals. Stick around. First, let me tell you about my friends at MyBookie and MyBookie.ag. You enter promo code BET975. When you enter that promo code, guess what's going to happen? You're going to get a deposit bonus of up to $1,000 to play with immediately if you're a first-time subscriber. You also get a nice little bonus. If you're not, you can bet on so many things at MyBookie.ag, like blackjack with live dealers, poker with live dealers. But you can also bet on all of the sports, NFL futures, college football games, the Houston Texans, Super Bowl parlays. Huh? Are you thinking at right now plus 1600 that the Texans are going to win the Super Bowl? You can bet on that at mybookie.ag. Those are still the eighth best odds. Huh? I like it. I think that's a fun play. Come on, if you're going to be watching the team all season, you may as well put some money on it. You can bet on so many things at mybookie.ag. You can also bet on the presidential election, which I think is the coolest thing ever. You can bet on anybody. Donald Trump's the favorite, minus 110. Kamala Harris, minus 115. My favorite person on the list. You can bet on Mark Cuban at plus 30,000. Oprah, plus 30,000. Mybookie.ag, you enter promo code BET975. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere, only with mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.